The first English settlement in Rome was over the other side of the river, the so-called Scola Saxonum. But in the course of time, the English occupied different sites, and this is the principal one. In the medieval period, it was the English hospice. It was where the pilgrims stayed, because there was nowhere else they could stay. But it was also associated with the English ambassadors, or proctors. And over here, we've got a memorial to John Sherwood, Bishop of Durham, who was one of the most distinguished of the English proctors or ambassadors in late 15th century Rome. Towards the end of his life, he rented property from this establishment, from the English College, and was in due course buried here. Goodness knows where his bones are now. This is just a memorial. Now, in the decades after that, one of the Englishmen sent to represent the king in Rome was Cardinal Bainbridge, and we have to move over the other side of the chapel to look at his tomb.
I'm a bit mystified. Was it routine procedure for a cardinal to represent the country in the 15th century?
No, not necessarily. Very few of the medieval English cardinals actually came to Rome and actually functioned as proper curial cardinals. Bainbridge was an odd one out. He was sent to Rome by Henry VIII in 1509. For a specific political reason. He was a prince of the church, but he was an Englishman first. And it was all very political and all about alignments of the powers. Basically, the king wanted to dislodge the papacy from an alliance with France and to ally instead with England and with Venice, because the French were getting far too powerful in Italy. And Bainbridge managed to do this. He was terrifically anti-French himself. One of the things that gave him most joy during his time in Rome was when he heard in 1513 that the Scots had been defeated at the Battle of Flodden. Of course, the Scots were intimately allied with the French. I suspect there was very little else that gave this man much pleasure during his time in Rome. He didn't like the Italians much. Imagine, he was not a diplomatic sort. He wasn't a subtle sort. And yet he was being sent among the likes of, well, the sort of people that Machiavelli described in The Prince. This man was not subtle, not diplomatic. His life ended in some controversy. We are in the realm of Renaissance poisonings. Now, there's a big question mark over whether or not Bainbridge was actually poisoned. Suspicion centred on a man called Silvestro Gili, who was also an ambassador of the King of England in Rome. Yes, he was from Italy, he was from Lucca. But you got lots of people who worked for both sides, double agents, if you like. Basically, Gili wanted to be the only ambassador. One of Bainbridge's familiars, a member of his household called Reinaldo da Modena, claimed to have bought some poison in Spoleto and put it in the cardinal's soup. This was at Corpus Christi in June 1514. However, Bainbridge himself didn't die until a month later. They say of completely different causes, though the poison story has stuck. This self-professed poisoner, Reinaldo da Modena, he claimed that Gili had put him up to it. Now, there was somebody else who could benefit. Gili benefited because it meant that he was the only English ambassador in Rome, but somebody else benefited. This man, Bainbridge, was Archbishop of York. The Dean of York was a man called Thomas Wolsey. Very ambitious. Very well in with the king at this time. The king's chief minister, he soon became. And he benefited in a big way because, therefore, Bainbridge was not acting as, in some ways, a buffer between Rome and the king. And Bainbridge tends to get forgotten because we all remember Wolsey. But here's Bainbridge, and it's nice to be able to say a few words about him for a change.